Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. Today we're joined by Grace McGuire, who's the goalie for the Iowa field hockey team. How's everything going with you?
Yeah, good. I mean, no complaints here. Just middle of late half of our season. We have one regular season left. We play Friday, senior day. But yeah. Pretty good. Just got them with practice, so need a shower. But
so what is that like for you guys right now, like to be the number one team in the country? Like, what's that experience like, you know, and being undefeated? Like, how have you guys maintained that momentum throughout the season?
Good question. I think honestly, like, we don't think about that too much. In all honesty, like, yes, it is like a really great honor, and it's, you know, it's cool that so many other like teams and coaches recognize us as the number one team, because it's largely coach based, as well as like different things go into RPI ranking. That's like a different ranking. But I mean, it's the same group of girls that like I've been training with for almost 4 years now. So, I mean, like, yeah, we bring in freshmen and stuff like that, but like it doesn't take long for people to get adjusted to the team. So, I mean, it's really just how practices all the time. Like it really hasn't been any different. I think the best way you've gone about it is like try not to focus too much on it, because like the more in your head you get about it, like the more it makes play more complicated, because like at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, like we're just playing hockey like we normally do. So yeah.
How has it been having the, you know, I know a lot of other athletes have come to your games this year to come out and support. How has it been to be recognized by some of the athletes around campus and to have to have some of those crowds that other sports don't have?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is like the coolest thing that I've ever like experienced my whole life. Like, we typically just play in front of like parents, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Like, really nice to see people come all the way out to, you know, Iowa is a tough drive or fly for some people, but I mean, it's been so huge to have other sports there. And I think like we feed off of it, especially in big games like that, to have a crowd like that. And it's, you know, it's an exciting game. And I mean, not everyone exactly knows what's going on all the time, but you don't really need to. Like, the objective is we're trying to put the ball in the goal and, you know, I'm trying to keep it out. So, but yeah, I mean, I think we've just been really grateful and honestly just blown away to see how many people like come out, not only like student athletes as well, but like on the street. Like, I remember like we'd walk to Target and like, if you have any hockey, field hockey stuff on, they're just like, oh my God, you guys are on the field hockey team. And I was like, yeah. So really, really weird and cool and surreal, but yeah.
So kind of like just to feed off what Sam said, you guys are number one, you guys have been on an unbelievable run, but like, what was the mentality coming into the season for you guys on the team? Was it, you guys understood like this is where you wanted to be, or were you just letting the chips fall where they were and this is where they are right now?
I mean, I think definitely a lot of us were like unsatisfied with the season that we had in the spring. Like, we lost Big Tens on our home field, which obviously like nobody ever wants to do. Like, it was really great to host, but like we want to bring the trophy home at the end of the day, and we didn't get to do that. I mean, we had a great run towards the end of the season, got to go to the Final Four, which is really cool. I mean, I've never been, and no one on the team has been, you know, that was on the team thus far. So that was a really neat experience. Obviously, COVID presented like a lot of challenges for us as well, but I think like we were hungry for more, like just, you know, like knowing that our team has this much potential, and it just like wasn't clicking for us. I think a large piece of it like has been like for us figuring out like in the front field, like, we can finish and we have like really great skill in the front field and just being able to like pick our skill choice when we're in the circle. But yeah, I mean, yeah, we wanted more. I think
explain to me. Pick the skill in the, like, I am so curious right now. I just need a little like field hockey for dummies breakdown right here.
Right. Okay. So like when we say like pick your skill choice in the circle, like if I'm a forward, I'm in the circle, I'm trying to shoot the ball. There's like two girls that are stepping to pressure really, really hard. You get a crappy shot off. Like, it's either going to go like they're going to tackle it, or like it's going to go over the end line, over the goal, whatever. It's not going to be a good look on goal. So like not a shot on goal, if you know what I'm saying. So like not a legitimate chance. So we would want to then, and instead of that situation, break our feet down, like try to look for a foot in the circle, try to find a foul there, and then we can have like a corner, which is obviously a much better scoring opportunity than like a 50-50, like, you know, not a very good shot on goal. So
all right,
that makes sense.
No, it does. And so kind of like the like step back in your life, like when did you first get introduced to field hockey?
Yeah, I think I was 14 when I first started playing, so pretty late, honestly.
When do people usually start playing?
So it's different regionally, so okay. That's what's weird about hockey. So where I'm from, it's not super popular. We do have it at most, if not all, the high schools. We do have two club teams where I'm from, which is really nice, but like it's a huge East Coast sport. So girls in PA, New Jersey, Virginia, all that, and then I think the other big sport, I mean, like, and then Midwest is like not as much. I mean, we have Chicago, St. Louis, sorta. That's where I'm from. And then we have like Texas, and then I think like Kentucky would be like another one. But honestly, all the big numbers, like concentrated people come out from there. So I didn't get started till pretty late. And I know girls that have been started. And then obviously like overseas too, like we have plenty of girl international kids on our team, and they've been playing since, heck, I think like since they can walk. I don't, you know, but it's huge sport over there too. So
was it one of those where it felt kind of difficult for you to find opportunities to play just because of how scarce like involvement was from St. Louis, like where you said you were from? Or was it just
right. You
just had to find that area and then just go all the way in?
Yeah, I had no idea it was a thing, honestly, until a friend of mine asked me to come out. So I'd played soccer growing up, like my whole life. Like my plan was to go play collegiate soccer. And that was the path that I was on, you know, like played all the select teams, stuff like that. Cause that's, you know, huge everywhere. Where don't people like play soccer? But a friend of mine was on a club field hockey team, and the GK was hurt, and I was the GK in soccer. So they were like, hey, like, can you come try it out? Like, see if it's any good. Like we basically need somebody to come play for this tournament for us. And I was like, all right. So I just went, and I guess I was just like naturally athletic enough to, you know, be decent at it. I had no idea what I was doing at all. And then, you know, like not even a week later after putting pads on for the first time, I went to like nationals in like Virginia. So it was crazy. And then, yeah, just went from there, and I fell in love with it, and here we are.
That's really cool. So with goalkeeping, what kind of goes through your head when you're getting shots fired at you? Like, how do you focus? Like, do you zone in? Are you thinking about the scenario? Like, what kind of goes through your mind while you're playing goalie?
Oh, a lot. I mean, like, throughout the game, like, regardless if we face a shot on goal or not, like, the whole game I'm communicating. Like, it's huge for us to get good pressure on the ball. Another important thing that I don't think a lot of other sports talk about, I mean, maybe, but, like, our counter D structure. So, like, when we're attacking the cage on the other end, like we need to be organized enough and back, like not everybody can go, because if we have a turnover, because it's so fast paced, and possession is a lot easier. Like it turns quick, you know, just kind of how it is. So, I mean, like organizing that the whole game and like doing what we can. I think a big thing that our coach emphasizes is like trying to like get an easy shot to read. So a low angle shot. So anything that's like, you know, to the right or to the left of the cage, not dead center in the circle, is pretty easy for us to pick up at least. And yeah, just try to do our job, you know, like we see a lot of balls in practice, so yeah, it's just executing when it comes down to it.
So you talk about controlling possession. Is possession like one of the biggest strategic things in field hockey, where it's just if you can maintain possession? Or, you know, in other sports, possession can be such a big thing, like basketball or football, just clock management, stuff like that. Is that kind of what plays into field hockey, or how does that kind of work?
Yeah, I mean, so like big components of our game would be like our outlet. So our outletting structure. So when the ball goes over the end line and we have what's called a 16, a free hit. So like kind of like a corner or a goal kick in soccer, but not really. Like we obviously don't kick the ball. So we possess there. So like, depending on like the numbers in the back, sometimes we'll outlet in a 3, sometimes we can roll to a 4. But the biggest thing is we're trying to possess the field up to the ball to then attack the goal. So our outletting structure is big. And then, you know, players on the field play a large role in that. So we have positions we call screens, which will sit a little deeper, like kind of like midfielders. We have midfielders as well, like outside mids, and then we'll have forwards. And then for the forwards, their large piece is pressing, which I think is, I haven't seen a like pressing in any other sport, like exactly how we do it. I mean, I played soccer and we never really had like a, I mean, you just try to win the 50-50 ball, I believe is the idea, which we try to do too. But pressing is like, so when the other, the opposing team has a 16-yard hit, you know, we would set up depending on what spot the ball on the field is on. So typically when the ball's on the sideline, like we do our best to keep it to that half, like that side of the field, and put as much pressure on as we can to try and win the ball there and then go ahead and counter to the goal. But yeah, outletting and pressing are two big keys we focus on. And then, yeah, I'm trying to think what else is, I mean, possession is good. We always want to have the ball. Like, can't score if we don't have the ball. So,
yeah. Well, yeah. So being, you know, the goalie and the only player at your position on the field, what is that kind of like from a leadership standpoint? Like, you kind of talked about how you're kind of calling, you know, certain things out. How do you kind of lead from the goal?
Yeah, I mean, I think largely like my talk is to the back, our back three. And then anything I say gets passed on if it needs to be further up the field. Like if I need to talk to our screens, it'll go there. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to a game, but you can definitely hear me for sure. It's watching film back. It's like, oh God, I really sound like that. But yeah, I mean, it's really important because like the other team is doing the best they can to like lead behind and do as much as they can to, you know, get a good look on goal. And we're trying to make it predictable and come up with the ball as much as we can.
So what you talk about being a goalie in soccer and then doing the transition from soccer to field hockey, what is it about goalie that attracted you to the position? You know, there's a lot of responsibility as the goalie. So like, what do you enjoy about that?
Yeah. It's a good question. I mean, I just like was born with really good hand-eye like ability. I don't know if that answers enough. Like, I was a weird kid. Like, my dad would, you know, be able to just missile a ball at me and I could catch it, and it just worked out. And so, I mean, it translated to soccer for me pretty well. And I just thought it was always neat. I mean, I think it relates to like me as a person. Like, I enjoy that kind of like pressure kind of situation where it's like, okay, you're like, you're the last person, like you have to stop this, like for everybody else, or like, you know, or else you're picking the ball out of the goal. So I don't know if that, I just, yeah, that's weird.
So talking about pressure and, you know, kind of the isolation of the position, you've managed multiple shutouts throughout different seasons, and that obviously impacts the game big time, because then you just need your teammates to score the ball and you win the game. When you're in these positions of managing a shutout, how do you kind of stay mentally focused and sharp when you kind of know what you're doing and you know the game, you know, is going your way? How do you not let it let up?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing we talk about is just like, we want to play to like our standard. So regardless if we're playing or regardless of what the score is, like, we want to play that best hockey that we can play and put out on the field. And we try to improve every practice, every game. I think that's another really big reason of like why we are where we are. So it doesn't really matter who we're playing or like what the score is. I mean, obviously for like game time management, like if we're down a goal, we want to, you know, but regardless, but yeah, I mean, I honestly try not to think about that as well too much. Like just trying to do like the part that I can the best. Obviously it's hard when you don't get touches on the ball early, but I mean, it's also means that your defense is like doing their job. I mean, we have the best defensive backs in the country, hands down. So they make it really easy. Like, credit like almost all those shutouts to them. Like, you know, half of them I didn't even have to touch the ball once. So
that's awesome. Well, so yeah. Being, you know, being ranked number one right now and kind of experiencing that this year, Have you and your teammates seen a difference in how people attack you guys early on in the game from before, you know, a couple of years ago to now? And do you feel like you know, people talk about in pro sports, like after you win a championship, people come at you harder every game because you're the defending champions. Have you like seen with this like ranking and being in the Final Four last year and stuff that there's been a difference in level of play by every team you play throughout the year?
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good point. I think every team that we've played has like shown up to play us, which I find super fun. Like I want to play the best that there is all the time. So I think it's a really great sign of respect, like to our team and to our coaches, but yeah, big time. I mean, like every team we've played is like, you know, that win for them would be a season defining win. It could turn some people's seasons around. So everybody, every time we play is, you know, ready to go. And I think it's been really interesting to see coming from that, like the position we're in now to like, versus like my freshman year, we were like the underdog in almost every situation. So it's fun to play as the underdog, but yeah, I prefer this. I prefer to be, you know.
Well, you guys are the hunters, and you had the mindset of being like, or you are the hunted now. You had the mindset of being the hunters, and it's just a completely, you know, different. And you guys had an awesome game earlier this year against Michigan, 1-2. That was like, I think the first time people really on a wider spectrum got to see this, where you guys are becoming the hunted, and you still went to shootout, double OT, all of it, and you guys still came out victorious. Did you guys, before the game, have any thought in the back of your mind, like, huh, maybe they're going to storm the field if we win? Or was that just like a holy shit, this is actually happening?
Yeah, I've never seen anything like that for field hockey, nor have I ever had that happen to myself personally. So it was really, honestly, like the craziest sports moment like I've ever been a part of. I had no clue that that was going to happen, nor that many people were going to show up. Like, when I tell you, I bugged about almost every person I knew, like for like weeks leading up to this game, like people in my class, I was like, are you coming to the game? Like, you better be coming to the game. I think people are probably like sick of hearing it. So to like actually go out and see that many people was just crazy. And the anticipation for like the game in itself, like in the field hockey world, was really big. So anyone that like knows anything about field hockey, like if they didn't have a game, they're watching. So, I mean, knowing that, you know, the game was on TV. And like if the people that enjoy the sport of field hockey were tuning in already. So like we knew that that was a factor, but to actually have that many people come out to the field was so, so, so cool.
And one aspect that I really enjoyed watching was the shootouts, because they're, I mean, similar yet so different from like an ice hockey shootout. How is that difficult for you? Cause it's almost like, it's you feel like you're standing in quicksand almost.
Oh man. Oh, am I allowed to like say a bad word or?
I just said shit. So you're definitely allowed to swear.
Okay. Oh, it was terrifying. I thought I was going to throw up and like shit my pants. Like it was awful and great at the same time. Like, it's hard to explain. Like, I don't think I slept for days after like the whole weekend. I like didn't go to bed. It was unreal. I didn't want to go to shootouts, but I mean, sometimes that's just how the game goes. And I was glad I was able to make up for the first goal that I let in and just, you know, be able to stop a couple. When it comes down to it, we practice a lot. So just try to do what, you know, like what I remember how to play the ball, and luckily it worked out. So yeah.
Now you don't have a speedometer in your head, but like how hard like do you think is the hardest shot that you'd face in a game?
Upwards of like 60 miles an hour probably.
Okay. Do you think I would have a boxer's chance of saving one if I threw the pads on like tomorrow?
You'd stop a couple. I mean, it depends on where they're placing it and who's hitting the ball. If I'm hitting the ball, you'd stop them for sure, but Ons is hitting the ball. Maybe not. you could get some for sure.
How big of a learning curve was it for you, like putting pads on from like soccer going to field hockey, and it's like you have legit equipment on that are gigantic. You feel like the Michelin man almost walking around. How long did it take you to like get used to that?
Yeah, honestly, like the first time I put them on, it was like hard to like walk around and like. I'm trying to think back to like when I first wore them, like how uncomfortable they are. And now you don't even think about it. It feels just like second nature, you know? And Yeah, I mean, I think it wasn't too hard of a transition for me. No one taught me very well. There wasn't, you know, a lot of people around that knew that specifically that much about goalkeeping. I mean, our head coach, Lisa Salucci, is like the best goalkeeper I was ever had. And like in America, like her and I'd only take advice from her and probably one other coach in this country. So, yeah, it's definitely been a like huge learning curve. I try to soak up as much as I can from her. I think, you know, I've grown a little bit since I was little, but I've figured it out. I've watched a lot of hockey since then. So, but yeah, it definitely is very different. But again, at the end of the day, like, we're just trying to keep the ball out of the net. Like, we just happen to use our feet a bit more in the sport. So
a question that I wanted to ask you is, what were your, looking back now as a senior, what were your expectations coming to Iowa when you first committed, and what were your goals coming here? And then looking back on those goals, you know, did you exceed? Are you where you expected to be? I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. Retrospect. Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah. Let me be honest. My like journey in collegiate sports, like where I am right now, this is not in my head how I pictured it was going to go. Like, obviously I didn't think there was going to be a global pandemic that was going to cancel seasons for, you know, thousands of teams across the country. I did not plan for that. My freshman year, I had ankle reconstruction surgery. So I redshirted my freshman year. I actually graduated high school a semester early and came to Iowa in January. And I was only 17, in order to like learn as much as I could from Lisa and get as much playing as I could, because
the was intention that like, was coming in the middle of your senior year.
So scary. It was so scary. Like, to go to college and I was just like done all of a sudden. And yeah, it was wild. I mean, I was eager to do it just because like there wasn't anyone at home that could teach me anymore, you know, that I didn't already know, not to sound, you know, like an ass, but yeah, so I was just eager to like learn from the best and play with the best. So I came early, and you know, I wasn't a huge fan of high school. Like, I went to all girls Catholic school, it was miserable, but so I was fine getting out of there early. But yeah, I mean, got a whole training of spring done. I played with the U.S. team, the U.S. women's national team. I think U19 was the age I played with. Went to Ireland, trained in California and stuff like that my freshman year, and then totally destroyed my ankle. So, you know, that's life. Like, had huge surgery in the summer and then couldn't play. So the plan was to have me play in that fall, but it didn't work out. And so, you know, I sat on the bench my freshman year, and then majority of my sophomore year, I didn't feel like fully back to normal, I don't think, until like almost like a year and a half post-op. But you know, I got some starts my sophomore year, got to play some, and then this junior year, COVID obviously happens. So we just trained in the fall. And you know, was really looking forward to it. And, you know, just to have it be taken away, it was like pretty devastating. So I mean, luckily enough, we got to play in the spring, which was pretty big. But I mean, it wasn't a true season. Like, we only played Big Ten teams, and then had NCAAs. So yeah, I mean, yeah, if you would have told me all that before I came here, I don't think I would have believed you. But yeah, I'm really grateful to be like where I'm at now, and just happy I like trusted the process. I know I picked the right school, so I'm happy where I'm at, and just, yeah, glad to be playing in a real season now.
If a 14-year-old goalkeeper came up to you today and was like, I'm deciding between starting to play field hockey or to stick with soccer, what would your pitch be to choose field hockey over soccer?
Oh, man. I mean, I'd just say, like, whatever. Like, try them both. If you like it both, like, I'm not going to tell anyone, like, don't play that sport. And honestly, it's, like, probably whatever you're better at. But if you're, like, you're really trying to sell somebody and, like, you want to go play, I mean, field hockey, numbers-wise, a lot easier. Like, not that many, like, not as many schools have it as, you know, soccer does. Soccer's really, really hard to get recruited by a good school, you know, just solely based on numbers. I'd have to see them play both sports probably and say, hey, you're better at that one than you are at that one. I wouldn't want to give them bad advice. So
that's a very fair response, actually. Very thought out. I like it.
I mean, I love soccer. I like both. So I'm, you know, can't hate on either.
So a question that Jack and I love to ask athletes that come on our podcast is, do you have a pregame and post-game routine? Like, do you have any superstitions?
And kind of, and a tag on top of that, like, do you have to put your pads on the same way every single time?
Yes. Yes, I do. Scarily classic. Enough. Yeah. Yeah. So our home routine is pretty consistent. I mean, it looks different sometimes when we're out of town, just based on like, we'll be in a hotel, but yeah, we'll have pregame meal. We have to sit next to the same people every time or else people have problems. I typically eat the same stuff. I usually get Starbucks in the morning on a game day. I always get Starbucks on a game day for sure.
What's the order? Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Oh, I just got iced coffee with oat milk. Nothing crazy. Sometimes if I have Stars, I'll get one of those drinks that's like $20. But only if I have Stars. I can't afford that. So just a normal coffee is fine. And then we will listen to some of the same songs. We'll listen to the same songs from – so we have our pregame meal in the Hall of Fame. And then our locker room is HOC, which is like a parking lot away. So we all drive over there. And we listen to – this year it's been years past it'll change. But the song right now – is a Dutch song that some of the girls on our team love that we listen to. They play it during carnival, they said. I don't know. I only know the chorus, but I'm not quite there with the verse, but we'll listen to that song. And then we have treatment, which is boring, like have to be done, just get ankle tape, stuff like that. And then we just hang out in the locker room. We play cards. I know I don't play cards, but I know some people have to play solitaire, like religiously, like they have to win a game before we can like do anything. And then they also play like some other, I forget what the other ones are called, but, and then everybody has to line dance. They have one line dance that they do before they come out to the pitch, to Copperhead Road. It's a sight for sure. We have already left by then. So the GKs, we go out earlier because we start our warm out early. But I do put my pads on in a specific order. And our like warm up stuff is like the same every single time. So like we have a big thing about crossing lines. We'll cross the line, jog around, jog up and back, and then like stretch, stuff like that, boring stuff. And then they typically play Nicki Minaj at the field because I love Nicki Minaj until the team shows up because why not? And then... yeah, I get my kill in the same order. So I have to do like left side first, everything. So like left kicker, left blocker, right blocker, and then left arm guard, right arm guard. And yeah, I think that's about it. I mean, there are some really superstitious people on my team, but I'm honestly not.
What's the most superstitious thing on the team? Yeah. You don't have to name a name. You just got to say what it is.
There's a girl on our team where if she hears like, she's the one that like can't sit in a different seat and like has to listen to the same thing, has to have the same person braid her hair. What's the other thing? She like does this table knock thingy, like depending on like if the I don't understand it. Like I'm not gonna pretend like I understand it. She's probably gonna see this later and like be mad at me, but don't put that part in, I guess. But she'll like knock during the time. Or if anyone says anything about like an injury or anything bad, she's like doing these knocks. And like kissing her hands. I don't know. I like it's too much to the point where like I don't know what half of it means anymore. But hey, if it gets her to play well, it doesn't matter, I guess.
Have people been added onto their superstitions as the years gone on? I mean, for obvious reasons, we don't have to say why, but have people like added things in? You're just like, oh, I can see why, but I'm not gonna say anything to you.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I think trying to think what's new that we've done. We've got another girl
Maybe not as a team, but like if someone's got something individual that you've just noticed that they've continually done since whenever.
There's a girl on our team that's got a penny taped to her shin guard. She has everybody like touch it before the game. I think that's new as of like this year. I'm pretty sure they started playing Twister too, like what? The kids game. Twister, yeah, there's like a big one. We have it, and we like lay it out in the locker room. We'll play Twister before the game sometimes.
Do you guys have to finish the game with Twister? Because I feel like that's like you got to finish that one through and see who's the best Twister player in that.
Oh,
in that
definitely.
Day. Or does the same person have to win every day?
No, the same person does not. I forgot. We play this game called Splat, and it's like you know how to play. You know what Splat is?
Yeah. Can you describe it though for the listeners?
Yeah. So it's like you get in a big circle. So on away trips, it's like really big. I know we do it because we have a heart rate spike in the morning. So like we'll go on like a jog and a stretch kind of things just to like spike your heart rate before the game. And then like this is early before, like hours before. And then we'll get in a big circle and we'll have someone in the middle and they call names. So it's whoever you're standing next to. So if I said Jack's got a duck. And then Sammy, if you're standing next to Jack and then the person standing next on the other side of you, Jack, would be like, they point and they say splat. So they'd shoot, you turn based on the way you're like, yeah. Anyway, if you don't shoot, you're out kind of thing. And then the last two people, we've been doing this. I think we've been doing this since like my freshman year. Maddie Murphy, who is from Tasmania, said that she used to settle things with a moo off. And everybody was like, what the hell is a moo off? And you get on all fours, you put your head against the other person, and you moo for as long as you can without taking another breath.
I've seen that shit on like social media.
Yes, weirdest thing ever. I purposely always get out so I do not have to be the mooer. I do not want to do that. So, but basically, yeah, that's the moo off. It makes no sense. It's the weirdest thing ever. But we love it, and we do it every game day for sure. And we've got a tally going in the locker room of like who has the most moo wins. I don't know who it is right now, but Jack, that is a thing.
Jack, I think that ranks number one in pregame routine that we've got.
Oh, definitely the moo off. That's unbelievable.
Listen, there's some things I've never been to Australia. I'd love to go, but yeah, she was like, you don't have a moo off? I was like, no, you don't have a moo off.
And you'd think it might be a thing here in Iowa. Maybe people know what a moo-off is, but no.
Yeah, maybe. No. Hey, it's pretty self-explanatory. I've done one, but I was like, no pictures. I was like, nope. I was like, this cannot. If I see this on the Instagram story after the game, I'm going to lose it. So, and then, let me think. You guys said post-game too?
We
sometimes, depending on the game, we'll go home straight home and watch it again. As weird as that sounds, like,
did you do that after the Michigan game? Did you rewatch it? Were you like, I'm so emotionally and mentally drained, I can't see it again?
I think we went straight to dinner because we were so hungry because it was a long, long, long day. So that was the longest a game can be. Yeah, and then I'm pretty sure we watched like parts of it when we got home, and then I was like, oh, I'm so excited to go to bed, and then just like couldn't sleep. I was just like, what the hell? So yeah, I don't think we have anything.
So what's the go-to post-game meal? And we always ask athletes this. Favorite restaurants in Iowa City? What are your go-to places?
I'm in Bread Garden at least 5 times a week, if not more. I think
like a daily thing.
Oh, it's like terrible, yeah. I love Bread Garden Market. I mean, they should sponsor the field hockey team. Like, I kid you not, I'm pretty sure after practice, everybody just went straight there. Regardless if it's to get groceries or food, but like, I spend too much money at Bread Garden. It's a great place. But yeah, we usually go there. I guess it depends. And if everyone's in a good mood, we'll go there. But like, sometimes, well, we haven't lost yet, so knock on wood. But I mean, it's been good. But like, usually if like we lost, like nobody's like, don't talk to me. Like I want to be by myself. But definitely Bread Garden. I'd say I go there the most.
So what's the go-to at Bread Garden?
They've got a really good, they've got good salads, sandwiches, soups are good. They took away the hot bar post-COVID, which has been detrimental to my well-being. Because they used to have such good food in the hot bar, and now it's gone.
I'm not cool with that.
It's not all right. I mean, the stuff from the like kiosk is still good. I usually get like turkey sandwich, nothing crazy, and like a salad.
Okay,
they've got like a good bread salad. I don't know. Sometimes I'll get fries, but like don't tell my coach. like know.
So I saw your major, and if it changed or isn't this, please let me know. But I saw you're an art and criminology major. Is that true?
Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm getting a BFA in art, or ceramics specifically, like sculpture. And then I am also getting a BA in like criminology and criminal law. Yeah, it's weird.
I was curious about the combo.
To be honest, I don't know how really it happened. I mean, it's two things I'm interested in. I think studying law is cool. You know, I think it's a good way to like understand like why we have laws in place. Stuff like that. I think social justice is important as well. And like, you have to understand like our criminal justice system to be able to, you know, if you want to do anything in that area. But so I think that was, you know, that's interesting to me and stuff like that. So I wanted to study that. So I did. And then I've always been okay at art, you know, since I was little. I know it's probably not strategically like a really good idea to pick as a major, but you know what? It's too late now. So here we are. I grew up in a household that, you know, like we were, you know, our parents or my dad at least let us, you know, draw and paint on whatever we wanted. Like we always had something going on. My dad went to the Chicago Art Institute. So he's big on art. So I mean, like we've got a studio at my house,
that's cool,
like up above our garage. So it's always been like a big part of my life. And yeah, and since like I'm now here for like extra time because of this red shirt and COVID, like I was like, why not add a BFA onto it? So
that's awesome. Yeah. So you said ceramics. So what type of stuff have you
made? Yeah, I was about to ask, like, what's your favorite thing that you've had to create or done here at Iowa so far?
Well, so I mainly I work on the wheel. So I throw like bowls, pots, cups, vases, stuff like that. But anything, I mean, like I enjoy that the most, but I think building sculpture, stuff like that is good too. I like drawing. I like painting. I think it's all good. Graphic design, I wish I liked it more. Can't stand it.
Us too. Like,
I don't know if you've ever been on AutoCAD, but that stuff like the worst. Like I get lost in there, dizzy. I feel like you can't make what you want to, like I'm much better like creating stuff when I can like see it and like make it with my own hands. So yeah,
that's awesome. So I'm assuming all the like bowls, pots, pans and everything in your apartment, they're just all made by you, right?
Yeah, all the bowls and plates are, for sure. Pans, yeah. My roommates are probably sick of it because I just like every once in a while, like once the big glaze fire's done, I'll bring home like a box full of like bowls, and they're like, oh, and I'm like, sorry, I don't have enough to like sell them, because like then you like open a thing and then there's like, and I don't have enough, and in the middle of season right now too, it's just like I just can't. Maybe when I'm done, but
that's awesome. We'll see. And you talked about with COVID and everything, you had extra time, so how much eligibility do you have left?
Yeah, so I have 2 years.
Yeah,
I have 2 years of eligibility left, which is crazy because I'm a senior academically.
Yeah, so are you planning
that was gonna happen either. Yeah, the plan is yes, but you never know, we'll see. But yes, the plan as of right now is to do that.
That's awesome.
Finish it out.
And so outside of art, what are some of your interests and hobbies outside, off the field, outside the studio?
Yeah, I like to cook. I cook quite a bit. My dad actually does own a restaurant at home. So grew up doing that. When I'm home, I'll work there. But cooking is like a very, very big part.
What kind of restaurant is it, and what's your go-to?
And also
meal to cook, yeah.
And I just have to add in, of course she cooks, because you have to make use of all the bowls and cups.
Right. he owns an Italian restaurant. I would call it like French Italian cuisine. Any of the pasta there is fire. It's all made by hand every day before service. The pizza's good too. I mean, we have like a $10,000 pizza oven that's like on the first floor. It's like huge. It's crazy. It came like straight from, I think it was Naples, and they drove it in. We had to take the front of the restaurant off and we drove it in on like a forklift because it's like tons and tons of That's weight. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all food's really excellent there. He's very, very good at what he does. but yeah, let me think. Yeah, probably in the pasta if I haven't been in a while. So that's usually what I'll get. But my dad sends like way too much food out, especially when he like knows the table. It's like ridiculous. But favorite thing from me to cook? I don't know. I mean, pasta's pretty easy. Any proteins, like, not too bad. Don't have a huge kitchen, which is like unfortunate. That's all right. I mean, we make do with what we got. Yeah, I don't.
Well, what's the go-to sauce with the pasta? I mean, there's so many sauces.
It depends on what everybody's. I mean, one depends on what day it is. So how much time we've got? I haven't been able to cook
full
as much.
Off day. Let's say full off.
Full off day. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we'll say Sunday coming up. We could do like there's sauces that take hours. Like you can make like a sugo. You can make like a meat sauce. You can make like a ragu, vodka sauce. My roommate loves that. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I do too much. That's like over the top, and it's like, all right, I gotta like. But like I've had night class this semester, so I haven't really been able to cook. Honestly, it's like super efficient because we just buy all of our groceries together and then I'll make dinner and it's like $4, usually like at least under $5 a meal per person in terms of like food. So like it's pretty helpful, no lie.
Jack, I know which restaurant we're going to next though.
Oh yeah, no, I've already like say the
Sunday
name.
Sunday night
like,
dinner.
What would your restaurant be named if you came up with one right now?
Oh boy, I don't know.
All right, I put you on
I've
the spot.
I've never thought about that. I mean, honestly, if anything, I'd probably just go home and work for my dad.
Well, what's your dad's restaurant named?
The name is Louie, Louie. Yeah, and oh, before when I was a baby, the first restaurant he owned was called King Louie's. And then he worked for a bunch of other people and like opened restaurants and stuff like that, managed. And then he finally decided, like, once I went to school and my little brother's in high school now, he was like, I want to work for myself again. So he opened up Louie, his a new restaurant. So
that's awesome.
Dude's the man.
So my final question for you, this is something we ask all of the Iowa athletes that come on the podcast, is what does being a Hawkeye mean to you?
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a really, really big part of who I am. Like I wouldn't be here or be the person I am today without it. I've met like lifelong friends, had many, you know, great coaches since I've been here. Just really, really grateful to be at a school like this and, you know, play for this university. Yeah, I don't know if I'm allowed to say anything negative. I bet you haven't had anyone be negative before, probably, have you?
We have.
How, really?
Well, wow. An alumni, yes.
Yeah, that would probably make sense until I'm like done, not to like say anything too bad. Right. But I mean, as a large institution, you know, they do the best they could, but I do have some qualms with the way they handle some things. I'm not going to say it's the best, but like is what it is when you go to a school. This is this big and where football is the utmost importance. Some of the things can get overlooked, I think, is to try and tread lightly and not say too much bad things. But I mean, putting that aside, like, the like team of women that I play with and the people that I get to like spend the most time with is like unlike any other place I've ever been to in my whole life. So, and you know, the people before us, like Christina Grant, who our field's named after, like she's a pioneer in women's sports, like Title IX, like she is the reason that we are able to be here and play. You know, when they didn't have female sports, you know, it's kind of a new thing. So just really grateful to, you know, go to a school that had pioneers like that, and you know, they made everything possible for us. So just think it's really cool to represent a legacy like that and play for those people.
Well, we can't thank you enough. And if you want, you can plug your social media so people can go follow you and follow you along for the rest of the season and postseason. Because, I mean, a lot of people are excited about field hockey right now. Like you just said, walking out of Target, people see you and they go, oh, hey, look, you're on the field hockey team. So, I mean, if you want, you can go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, my Instagram is, I think it's Grace_McGuire_. Just how it sounds. I'm not really on Twitter much. I think it's like the same handle, but
yeah,
I just use that to look at scores. But thank you guys for having me on. This is like really, really cool what you guys do. I checked out a bunch of your stuff on Instagram and it was really neat. So really appreciate you having me on.
We appreciate you saying that and taking the time to come on. And like always, guys, not the same time, same place. We'll see you guys later.